The New American recently published an article about a fourth-generation farmer in South Dakota who is battling the carbon capture land grab. But this is just the tip of a very large iceberg. Farmers' property rights and even their livelihoods are being threatened throughout the Midwest and elsewhere, and carbon capture pipelines are just one of the lines of attack. Let's take a look. Hello, everybody. This is Beyond the Cover with your host, Gary Benoit. And today we have with us Rebecca Terrell, who is senior editor for the New American Magazine. Rebecca, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gary. Great to be here.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. And of course, we want to interview you regarding the farmers because, number one, you wrote a recent article on the subject about a farmer in South Dakota. His name is Jared Bosley, and his livelihood and his property rights are being threatened because of a carbon capture pipeline, but also because you have been interviewing quite a few farmers. And in fact, you even made a trip to Iowa, Fort Dodge, Iowa, where there was a property rights rally, and you interviewed a number of people there, not just farmers, but also state legislators and others who are fighting for property rights. And plus, you have a farming background yourself, Rebecca. But let's start with Jared Bosley, who is the subject of your article in the August 14 issue of the New American Magazine, Fourth Generation Farmer Battles Carbon Capture Land Grab. So how's he doing?
Absolutely. Well, Jared, it's a wonderful story. It's kind of uplifting, despite the fact that it is scary too, because mm-hmm. it shows us that all of our property rights, if one person's property rights can be just thrown to the wind in this country, then anyone's can. If they're coming for his property today, they can come for ours tomorrow. So that's why this is so pertinent to every single American out there. It was a great pleasure I had in meeting Jared Bosley because he, in Fort Dodge, he did attend that rally on July 8th. 2 days beforehand, he had been in Pierre, South Dakota, where they had a huge rally. Some 700 people showed up at the state capitol demanding that their state legislators protect them against the carbon capture pipeline companies that are coming in. And Gary, maybe we shouldn't assume, I guess, that everybody knows what we're talking about here. We have these carbon capture pipeline companies that are coming in wanting to put it down pipeline. This is all made possible through literally billions of dollars in either tax breaks or low interest loan guarantees or this or that. All sorts of different federal subsidies are making this possible. Carbon capture is something that they've cooked up to, of course, save Mother Earth. That's the ostensible reason. We actually know, we know from the companies that manufacture the carbon capture technology that the process is actually net carbon additive because it is so energy intensive. So, there's an agenda behind this, and that's what we're going to get to when we're talking about these carbon capture pipeline companies. But they are companies that are for profit. This is not a public use, and they are threatening these farmers with eminent domain lawsuits. Jared Bosley is one such farmer. But in the process of all of this litigation playing out, and these carbon pipeline companies applying to the various state public utilities commissions in South Dakota, which is only one of the states that's affected by this, a couple of years ago, the legislature curiously passed a bill that said anyone who has an open application before the Public Utilities Commission can, before approval, go on to private property without the owner's permission and survey for that particular project, which is what's happening here now. These for-profit and heavily subsidized companies are coming in onto these farmers' properties. It's not just Jared, but he has kind of become the poster child because a lot of attention was focused on him because he balked. He told them to leave. He said, no, if you're going to be here, you need the sheriff needs to be involved. He did what any rational, God-fearing private landowner would do in this country. That later that day, after he had told them, no, you don't have permission to be on my property, a sheriff's deputy showed up and said that the company had accused him of threatening to shoot the surveyors. Now, these surveyors showed up in a truck, unmarked truck, with Louisiana plates in Brown County, South Dakota. That is on the border of North Dakota. And they showed up. Jared was 10 miles away in a field planting. His wife was at home recovering from gallbladder surgery. She was in the shower. They open the house door, the front door, and yell into the house to see if anybody's there. They also went in an outbuilding, a shop, without permission. And then they went out onto the land and set up their tripod with their topographical survey equipment. That was when Mrs. Bosley went out, found them there, got her husband on the phone. It was a 6-second conversation, and they have phone records to prove that it was only 6 seconds. And the company is now saying, oh, he threatened their lives. So they use that as an excuse now to have armed guards accompanying the surveyors when they go onto any of these farmers' property. And the farmers are kept away by sheriff's deputies, their own sheriff. This is just, I mean, I've heard people in some of these public utility commissions meetings just saying, this doesn't look like America. This is, what have we become? Have we become a communist country? Because that's what it looks like.
But more and more, it does look like that, because you would expect, Rebecca, that a sheriff's deputy would be on the property to protect the property rights of the farmer.
Right.
And yet the sheriff's deputy is there to prevent the farmer from protecting his property rights.
And you know what? That can't be emphasized enough, Gary, because in Iowa, a similar bill was passed, mm-hmm. that anyone with an open application, whether it was approved yet or not, could go on to private property without the owner's permission. A judge overruled that. He said, no, that's unconstitutional. That can't happen. A lot of people don't know about that ruling yet, and the farmers who do know are trying to get the word out. But it is unconstitutional, and besides that, we shouldn't have to wait for a judge to catch that and rule on it. It really is not only the duty and responsibility, it is within the power of any sheriff in any county in this country to say, no, that is an unconstitutional measure, not in my jurisdiction, not right. on my watch. That's not going to happen. And so we have the judge in South Dakota who said, oh yeah, I'm going to uphold that. They can go on your property without your permission. Still, the sheriff has the power and the duty and the responsibility to defend that private property landowner against that unconstitutional ruling.
Right.
Because, so in one state we have it happening and one state we don't. So we've got a problem here. We have a problem really where the sheriffs, I think, don't understand their constitutional duties.
Well, and we need to keep in mind, too, that a sheriff, or for that matter, a lawmaker, be he state or federal, takes an oath to uphold the Constitution. And so when you have officials violating the Constitution, the sheriff or others who take an oath to the Constitution, they need to obey the law of the land.
Amen. And you know, I found out something else that was very interesting, Gary, that really makes this whole thing, it kind of blows it out of the water. The Summit Carbon Solutions, which is one of the companies, mm-hmm. it's not the only one, but it's one of the companies, and they are saying that they're going to sequester the carbon dioxide that they capture from all these ethanol plants throughout the Midwest, or throughout the Great Plains, I should say. They say that they're going to sequester it underground in storage in North Dakota. North Dakota has not approved an underground sequestration site. The North Dakota legislature only meets every other year. It already met this year. It won't meet in 2024. It won't meet again until 2025 to even decide this question. So they're putting in a carbon pipeline they don't have an end destination for. And two of the North Carolina, North Dakota legislators who attended the event on July 8th in Fort Dodge, Iowa, told me about this, and they said, you know, this is absolute insanity. It's obvious to them that it's obvious that Summit is just trying to take advantage of the 45Q tax credit that gives them a certain dollar amount between $35 and up to $80 per metric ton of carbon that's captured. And that dollar amount can vary based upon whether it is for underground sequestration to just, you know, end up being buried underground and do nobody any good, or to be used for enhanced oil recovery. I think I've looked up there in the areas that they're proposing for underground sequestration, and I find it very curious. There are quite a few depleted oil and gas wells up in that area. So I think perhaps they might be intending to use this for enhanced oil recovery. If so, it has even more of a profit motive and less of a public utility. And that's why it's just unconscionable that they are threatening these farmers and have these farmers in litigation now over eminent domain lawsuits.
Right. Of course, ostensibly, the reason they're doing this, Rebecca, is to protect the environment from climate change. And yet, contrary to the way it's portrayed by the national media or by the woke left, what we're talking about really is plant food. Carbon dioxide is not a poison. Carbon dioxide is something that is necessary if we're going to have plants or any kind of vegetation on this planet. I'm curious, though, how aware of are the farmers you're talking to of that fact? I would think they're all aware.
More and more are becoming aware of the link to Agenda 2030 and the UN and the land grab agenda that's been going on for decades, that the John Birch Society has been trying to warn people about for decades. And of course, we all those years have been called conspiracy theorists, and oh, that could never happen. Now, a lot of people are going, oh, wait, because COVID opened a lot of people's eyes to the amount of control that they already exert, that the deep state already can wield over us. And they're going, wait, we still have our constitution. We still have a chance to push back and defend our freedoms. So a lot of people are waking up. And more, this is encouraging too, because at first, when a couple of years ago, when all of this carbon capture pipeline business started, people were only the people who were directly affected by the carbon pipeline being laid on their property were getting involved. You know, neighboring farmers were like, oh, that's not my problem. Now they're starting to realize, oh, yes, it is. Because when you're talking about laying pipeline like this, you are talking about messing up a whole underground system of irrigation and drainage that farmers have. It's called tile plow. And it messes up, it will destroy the productivity, you know, destroying just that 100-foot easement will destroy the productivity of the entire field, number one. Number two, it's very dangerous. This carbon dioxide is not in its gaseous form. It is compressed into its liquid form. It is transported under high pressure. There was a terrible accident in February of 2020 in Satartia, Mississippi, where seasonal flooding caused the ground to shift, and a pipeline broke. It leaked out all this carbon dioxide. The entire town had to be evacuated. 49 people went to the hospital. People now are living with residual neurological and GI and lung problems that they never had before. Carbon dioxide in its compressed liquid form like that immediately hits the air and becomes gaseous again. It's denser than air. It hugs to the ground. Even your car won't work because, of course, the engine needs oxygen. So, you know, this pipeline is being planned close to towns and schools and, you know, assisted livings and homes. And people are starting to realize, ooh, just because this isn't affecting my property directly, it could very much affect me. In fact, it could kill me. Another issue that they're dealing with that people are starting to wake up to is the fact that these easements that some people have signed already, they didn't read the fine print before they signed them. And a lot of people are very regretting it very much that they signed, because there's a stipulation in the easement agreement that Summit can have perpetual control over that property, can even sublease or mortgage that property to someone else. For what? Anything. for drilling purposes. That's another thing. These surveyors are coming onto the farmers' properties. They're not doing just topographical surveys. They are bringing huge drilling equipment in into the fields, destroying crops, drilling 90 feet below the surface. That's not an environmental survey or a topographic survey.
Right.
That's a geologic survey. Looking for minerals, looking for rare earths, looking for, you know, what else is down there 90 feet below. They're saying, you know, the pipeline is supposed to be laid 4 to 6 feet. That's the average, they say. Would the deepest point that it would go would be underneath a body of water or a highway, but that would be at the deepest, they've said, would be 40 feet. That's not even halfway to 90.
I wonder if they're using the new math or Common Core math.
Well, that's something to consider.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. But very seriously, Rebecca, what can people do about this? What can our viewers do to help the farmers?
Absolutely. We all do need to be aware of this. Educate yourself. Go on to the New American. Read our articles about it. Educate. Get to know your local sheriff and educate him. You can find information about this, about nullification, and about the power of the local sheriff over any state official, any federal official coming into his jurisdiction to enact unconstitutional measures. He has power to absolutely nullify that on the spot. We have a lot of information about that at jbs.org. So click on that. What's the action project, Gary? Help me out here. What are the names of those action projects? You know them.
Well, actually, yes, Rebecca. Thank you. And I should mention that JBS stands for John Birch Society. So we have jbs.org/nullify and jbs.org/agenda2030/farmers. So there's all kinds of great information there, both in the way of action projects as well as educational information as to what we can do.
Absolutely. And it is a wonderful resource because, you know, I've read through all of those, and one of the strengths of it is you don't have to get a degree in constitutional law to understand how to defend our rights and support not just the farmers, but we are, like I said, supporting ourselves, because if they can come for their property today, they're coming for ours tomorrow. And we know from the Agenda 2030 documents from the UN itself, they do intend to confiscate all private property eventually.
There's no doubt about that. No, Ed, Rebecca, that you don't have to be a scientist with a PhD or doctorate in order to understand that CO2 is not this dangerous poison. And in fact, you told the story about a young man, I think it was preteen, wasn't he, in Fort Dodge, Iowa, and he went to the property rights rally because he was so confused because he learned in school that CO2 was a good thing for plants. And so therefore, why do we have to try to get rid of the CO2?
That's right. Exactly. And you know what? We do have to, I pointed this out in the article that we're talking about here for Beyond the Cover. One of the companies that manufactures the carbon capture technology admits openly that in order to capture one metric ton of CO2, it requires 2,650 kilowatt hours of power in order for a power generating station to generate that power. It is going to emit, if it burns coal, it's going to emit 2.4 metric tons of CO2. Mm-hmm. If it's run on natural gas, it's going to emit something like 1.5 metric tons of carbon. So for every one metric ton of carbon, you're releasing more carbon than you're capturing. This is net additive.
Right.
It doesn't capture carbon. It doesn't solve any carbon problem. Not that there is a carbon
problem.
And
it doesn't make any sense unless you realize there is a bigger agenda involved. Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it.
The John Birch Society has been working tirelessly since 1958 to preserve freedom, safeguard the Constitution, and restore our God-given rights. We continually educate voters and lead the freedom movement. Join us as we work against a tyrannical one-world government. United as one, we can defeat this conspiracy against a free America. JBS founder Robert Welch said, "Education is our total strategy and truth our only weapon." Join us in restoring this great nation.